Hi, and welcome to the SEO podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
And my name is Matt Bertram. I'm the lead strategist here at EWR Digital.
We have an amazing podcast for you today. We don't have guests very often, and this is an amazing guest. You guys, stay tuned. You're going to really enjoy it. We want to talk a little bit first. We're sponsored by Ahrefs, so we've got to do our due diligence. And our due diligence says, well, let me get the script here in the right place. It says Ahrefs Webmasters Tools is a powerful and free tool. Ahrefs created AWT for website owners who can't yet afford a marketing budget for a professional SEO tool, but need organic traffic to their website. Almost 300,000 people signed up for the AWT the last year since the product released. All of them use almost half of Ahrefs product functionality for free. Matt, I think we're getting a little feedback from yours. Maybe turn your sound down. Seriously, at $0, not even a credit card is required to sign up. That's always a plus. Tech Radar said that AWT makes SEO more accessible to others. It's an amazing tool. We use it in our office and are proud to be sponsored by them.
I would just say for free.
For free.
All right. Check it out. Ahrefs, AWT. All right.
All right. So let's jump right into it. We're not going to do any more of our formalities. We want to jump into this. Today we have none other than Billie Jean, and we're going to say Billie Jean is marketing in case like that whole tie doesn't, if the name Billie Jean doesn't resonate with you. I bumped into Billie Jean at Affiliate Southwest in Las Vegas. Was able to have a great conversation with him and was like, hey, like let's hook up on the podcast. This is going to be a lot of fun. But my team and really Matt exposed me to you even before that. Matt, why don't you talk a little bit about how we first encountered, and by the way, this won't surprise you, but how we first encountered Billie Jean.
Yeah. So let me set it up. So, you know, we got, you know, a team of like seven people crammed into a space.
Crammed
into a space, literally like working on tables and like TV trays. And like, we're just like making it happen. Okay. And we're all sitting around, you know, and we're doing Facebook, we're doing Google, we're doing SEO, we're doing whatever. And then all of a sudden, okay, you know, 2017, the Wolf on Wall Street, like parody, like paid advertising, the Wolf of paid advertising comes on. And everybody like is like, what the heck is going on? Everybody crowds around and like watches this video, and like it just blew everybody's minds. And like from there on out, like, you know, like it was just Billie Jean, Billie Jean, Billie Jean. And like that was when, at least for me and my team, you like really came on the scene. And it was, I mean, it was awesome. So we are excited to have you. I know a lot of teams watching. So
why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Hold on. Let me say thank you for having me. And I appreciate the intro and the opportunity. Like you say, you guys don't have many guests on this, so you know I don't take that lightly. And I'll make sure that we spit some hot fire. Also, too, in regards to the Wolf video, glad you guys found it entertaining, because people either love it or hate that shit, and that's what that is.
It's designed to polarize. Well, I mean, tell me a little bit about, like, you know, I've heard a little bit about your backstory, you know, and you know, be willing to share whatever you like. But I'm curious, like, you know, where were you at in your life, and when you were like, I'm gonna like do this, you know what I mean? And yeah. And was that like the first really big video? Because you've had a couple others, right? You know, you have like the James Bond type video. You know, you've done some other like big videos. But I'm just kind of curious, what was going on with you like right around that time, and how did that change?
When I decided to be stupid enough to do a parody of that, I mean, you know, getting to the industry, what was going on in this digital marketing? I lived in my parents' house. What was going on is I was embarrassed. I mean, like, no one's excited. Like, you go out, you meet people, and people ask that question. Oh, where do you live? You know, I live with, oh, who do you live with? You know, this couple, they're cool. You know, you know what I say. So, like, you know, my drive came from getting out of a situation. There was no, like, change the world, like, impact. All this stuff, like, there is present today. I'll keep it 100. Like, in the beginning, absolutely not. how could I be thinking about the world when I was trying to figure out how to survive myself? That was a challenge for me. I couldn't think anything else. But then how to, you know, fast forward, how do crazy ideas like that happen is I love to study. And in regards to me, I was educating people on entrepreneurship. So what is the most mainstream message that was out there? And it was The Wolf of Wall Street. And we don't really get too many movies about entrepreneurship. You know, you got like a major blockbuster like Pursuit of Happiness. And I've done some things in that nature. But The Wolf was like the biggest. And so as opposed to me trying to garner or fabricate attention, it was like, yo, it's already here. Let me just do our own version. Yeah. And then it just became a thing. Matter of fact, when I walked into the office and I told the team, I have this idea, like, we're going to do this and modify and da 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 da. Everyone was like that. Wow. That sounds stupid. But like, nobody was feeling it, but I just had a gut. And then, you know, me, myself, Paul and the video team, we just went to work and just, we did it all in like 4 days.
Well, you know, and what I would say about that is like that like idea, you had to fully commit to it and fully get in character, right? Yeah. Like if you like, you couldn't do that.
I had lines. Way. I had to remember lines and shit. Yeah, yeah.
Like it was just because it, like, I think it just showcased like who you were and what you were about. And like, it just opened everybody up to you because to do something like that, you just had to fully commit. And like, if it was half done, you know, I don't think it would have had like the impact, but you just, like, I mean, you just were like, boom. And like, we'd never heard of you before. Nothing. Like, who is this dude? And like, he just comes out of nowhere. Like, I am the man. Like, look at this. And
it's pass or fail, you know, it's pass or fail. Like, you know, it's going to work or it's not.
Literally, while you were giving the keynote at Philly at Southwest, I was taking some pictures and sending them back to the team. And they're like, is that Billie Jean? And like, yeah, that's Billie Jean. So that is really awesome. Got to ask this. Has that been your most successful video? And right, you could define that a couple of different ways. Or, you know, there's a lot of people say, hey, is it the simple cell phone video that's a little bit better because it's real, or the high production value that you put into that? Talk to us a little bit about what's been the most successful for you.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right with someone. How do you define success? But I think the way that, you know, for the sake of this podcast and just life, in this case, is, did it make money or did it not? Is it paying these bills? Are we balling because of it or not? And for The Wolf, yes, it was very successful financially. I don't know. The damn thing was probably seen like 50 million times or something like that. And probably, you know, generated some kind of multiple seven figures. You know, I look at it as an asset, right? You know, most people, you say, what are you investing into? A lot of people will say, I'm investing into real estate. You know, I invest into video content because it doesn't take as much money to get into that game. It took me a couple of days and I still use that video today. Like, there's still funnels where we'll incorporate it in. Just like people still use real estate as a, you know, a profit producing, you know, asset, right? Like, same. So to me, that whole thing is just a better investment in real estate. I don't assign no paperwork, no contracts, no messy stuff. I ain't worried about it going down. Matter of fact, if it doesn't work, I just turn it off. Like, you know what I mean? There's no risk there. I lost the first half of that question, Chris.
So how valuable that was it? Great. So
yes.
Awesome. And then talk a little bit about how that's such high production value and maybe there's a risk reward, right? I think a lot of people are intimidated by video because they think it has to be perfect and that can get expensive or just even seems expensive. And then like talk about, hey, just crank out something on a cell phone.
Well, almost always profitable in regards to lowest cost per lead, lowest cost per sale. It's almost always the ones where it's either a cell phone or a single cam.
Yep.
Like one per, almost all, like even today, like that Wolf one, it was good. It was good because, you know, it made sales, but that's more of a brand play, right? Like here we are, you know, 5 years later and we're talking about that video. That was for the brand, quote unquote, to be remembered. Yeah. But for the money, it's like the combination, right? And I would say 90% of our ads are here or single cam and just talking to the camera. Simple as that, you know? But I do think you need to mix in like the big productions every now and then just to be remembered.
No, I mean, we probably about 2.5 years ago, we were just seeing, you know, Facebook Live was being big, YouTube Live was becoming big. And we were just seeing like the data on videos, and we actually started our own video production team to do that. And then we were mixing it in with like the video testimonials with the phone, right? Like are just the most powerful because they're genuine, they're honest, they're real. Yeah. You don't have that big production. But yeah, I think the brand play makes a lot of sense because like if you're putting together about us video, like, and you're a bigger company, you need that production component to it. You don't want that on the phone, but you want the genuine responses to be, you know, completely genuine. And, you know, the data is like 3-1 almost, right? As far as like engagement and that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, I think that at least in my mind, that put you on the map as far as like a brand play. And then anything else yeah. you put out, there was enough attention to like look at what you were doing, right? Of mm-hmm. like the different kind of funnels. And, you know, when you came out with the little, you know, poker chip, right? And yeah, I mean, one of my team members brought that in and we're like looking at your funnels. And yeah. I mean, so it was, I mean, I think that anchored, right? The brand. I think you're doing like a van thing, like you were doing a van thing, right? You know, and that was cool. And like massage empty. Mm-hmm. I think I like the wow factor, right? And certainly the entertainment, like if people listen to you and like get to know you, like you're yeah. hilarious, right? And you got to be able to, you got to keep their attention, right? Like, can you maybe speak to a little bit of that as far as, how important that is? I mean, when you're copywriting, right? Like just when you're copywriting, like if you can't get past the headlines, you're never going to get into the meat of the article. No. That's where like the time has to be spent to like grab them, you know, at least from what I've seen. I'm curious.
Yeah, entertain, educate, execute. But I think there's another angle that I kind of want to throw in there too.
Yeah.
Of why we go so hard on video and just this whole style. And the word is competition. Mm-hmm. Like, I am very aware that we are not the only marketers in the world. There's a lot of extremely intelligent ones, you know what I mean? Like, that are fantastic and do an awesome job. And anything that goes with a funnel is, look, you can put something out there and you can probably wait about 60 minutes before somebody else is testing what you do. And especially even writing copy. Everybody thinks that's the golden ticket. The problem with copy is you can copy and paste. The second you put a joint out there, if it's just words that are protecting you, virtually anyone can do it in the fastest time ever. The videos are our moat. The videos are... Yeah, like how in the world are you going to copy that wolf parody? How are you going to copy the body language and the structure of da-da-da? Like, you know, that is all a moat so that the competition can't do it. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like, for me, when I think of brand, it's like, how can we create something that nobody else can touch? And the truth is, every process is replicatable. But the content, the creativity, that's a lot harder to do.
I think also with you in the video, right, as the face of the company, as the face of the video, and you know, we kind of touched on a little bit of authenticity, and that's one of the things that Matt and I really enjoy about this podcast is because we get on, we've got like a zero edit policy, right? One, because you know probably better than us, editing is a black hole of time. Like you can spend like 8 hours and go, good, I've got 30 seconds ready, let's move on to the next 30 seconds, right?
That's fact.
And so we got a zero edit policy, and that authenticity really comes through, and people make that connection because it really is a lot more about the connection. Now, you said something at Affiliate Southwest, actually it was up on the board, and basically you're saying you smile by selling them crack. Now tell the audience about your personal history with crack.
My personal history, I've never touched crack of any sort, but yes, in my presentation, like that's a great example of like, you know, my real job is I'm an educator and teacher. My passion is that I want to educate people who feel like they don't got a shot. You know, that happens to be a lot of minority communities at times. And me being a black man, like that's very important. And so whenever I'm presenting in a video or whatever, I obsess 90% of the video or the presentation about how am I going to make people laugh and smile and like not be able to turn their head the whole time. Then I go into the content. The content part is easy. Like the actual teaching thing, it's actually making somebody care about it. Mm-hmm. So when I even come onto a stage like Affiliate Summit West, I look at the speaker role and I see who's speaking, et cetera. And, you know, maybe sometimes figure out what they've done in the past. And I try and figure out what's everyone going to do. perfect. I'm going to do the exact fucking opposite.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, so if I'm in a speaker, I'm like, hey, a lot of people are coming up here. They're talking motivation. They're going to use these slides. Great. I'm going to double down on slides. You know what I mean? And then in addition to that, it's okay, I'm going to present something and teach them. But what are the, I'll spend more times on my jokes.
Yeah.
So that they're open to receive, you know? So my whole segment there was about like, everybody's getting so freaking surgical about conversions and clicking this button and this split test and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, the only thing that you need to split test is, does your sales page make people laugh or not? Go ahead, Matt.
Oh, no, just one of the things that I have heard you say is like the number one thing, like in funnels, and Chris is, by the way, running a ton of funnels, okay, for another business, is the offer, right? Like that's like all the surgical stuff that you're talking about, you know, A/B test, the button color, all this, like these are all marginal things. Like yes. You really want to test something, test the offer. I think it was another podcast you're talking about. A client that did like pink boxing gloves or something.
Yeah,
like that,
and it
right?
was exactly, and it just killed it for him. Like, you know, the gym space, hella competitive. Everyone has a 2-week trial. Who cares? But yeah. They're like, we're gonna give you free boxing gloves and they're pink. You know, watch this. Like, because most of the time when we miss in cost per lead or sell, and we're like turning off a campaign, it's because we need a $10 cost per lead and it's 30. Like, you need a 300%. Increase in performance. You cannot get that from a freaking change of a color or like a little tweak. It has to be, if you want a 300% change, you need to do something 300% different. I tell my team that all the time. Like literally, if it sounds anything like we're doing, it's not going to work. It's just a waste of freaking time. Like we have to switch it. That's my whole thing. So I obsess about offers. That's how you guys got the USB is like, you know, at the time, free plus shipping books were really popular. And I was like, yeah, that's cool, but I don't really feel like writing a book right now. So I'm just going to put all my shit into a USB. Right? Like continuous innovation.
All
right,
and get it all, right? Because the USB is a great way to deliver at a low cost everything. And
you guys want to hear a funny story about that USB? Yeah, like this is so ridiculous. So probably about 2017, 18, somewhere in there. We're sitting in the office. We're going to move forward with this free plus shipping thing. But at first I was like, yo, let's just run an ad and tell everybody that I'm going to give them my best performing ads of all time just to opt in. Fuck it. Let's just email it to them. Who cares? Yeah. So we test it and we do. And it sucked. Our cost per lead was high. It was like, and I was, you know, that was one of those moments where you bang your head against the wall. Are you kidding me? This is it's the great. Best offer ever. Yeah, yeah, this is great. How do you not know that?
We opted in, Billy, just so you know. Like, we actually did opt in, and we were one of them. Well, you can go back and look at the list. We did opt in.
Okay, we started. So we do that digitally, right? Yeah. And then I flip it, and I go, fine, let's upload all this to a USB. So now you have to wait for it in mail. And then let's say we're giving away, and people just have to pay the shipping. Our cost per sell on the free plus shipping was dramatically less than our cost per lead. And we were now making money. So that campaign flew. And it's just something about the physical. The truth is, most people don't value information, right? Like this group right here, we value information. We represent, you know what I mean? When you're going mainstream, no one, it's learning, you know, my shout out to my guy, Vince Reed. And he always brings up a good point that we laugh about, which is if you're in the information space, you just sell work and nobody wants to work. Like it's like, take a course. That's not a hook. I was a crappy student in school. Someone tells me to take a course. I'm running. I'm ditching class. Like, take a course. I got a 5-year-old. What course you think I'm going to take? Right. It's work. So I really had to kind of step back and just like, rethink a good offer and put myself in the framework of that customer. And anything that sounds like work or time ain't it. And it's part of the reason why 3 years ago we started giving away all our courses for free, right? Like when we were just like, once we had brand and list built up and we're like, here, just take all our courses for 30 bucks, $2 million that month, just giving away that stuff. But the reason why I did it is because I wanted to reach more people. And I just got back from an event with Tony Robbins. So I was all in my feels. But the second component was, man, this industry is going down in flames in regards to coaching. There's too much competition. I did a course for LinkedIn Learning or something in there in Santa Barbara, and I'm like, man, LinkedIn Learning's in here. You got Udemy full steam ahead. You got everything on YouTube. Barrier to entry is super low. Everybody's coming. I'm like, this shit just, it's not, this is not a thing. So I'm like, as opposed for waiting for this whole thing to burn, I'm going to light the match, and I'm gonna torch it. And so we did. We got rid of the courses, and then we just really focused on selling support and access, which are really the hot buttons.
What I've found that's interesting, kind of like in that same time frame, I felt like people did want something physical because they could be like, I have this value, yes, in this thing, right? Yes. Like I want, like, if it's tangible, I got this book, or I got this piece of value here, and I'm going to go set it over here, and I'm probably never going to look at it again, but I got it right, yes, there. Right.
Yes.
And the biggest thing that we found, and you even hit on it earlier in your presentation, is getting someone care to take action. Cause like, people know how to lose weight. People know how to do digital marketing. And then if you go in and like, look at their stuff, like, you're like, you know how to do this. We just had a conversation, but you're not actually taking action, and you're not doing it. And so, you know,
and that's exactly why we just switched a few years ago. Take the information, pay us to help you implement.
Yeah. What is it like? What is the data point you've seen on as far as, if you give them the information, people that actually use it? Like, it's like 3%, 5%. I mean, I don't even know.
Honestly, like it's low, but also what's low is if people pay for the information, the people to lose it, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, you know, it's just work, and it's easy to deprioritize. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so like, our big thing that we sell is our weekly coaching, where you're on a call with us. And then over the years, the message has changed to every single week, I'll teach you a new way to get customers. And it has to be that simple. And we just go through the week and we say, this is what you do. Here's the ad template. Here's how to do it. Now go and do it. Even with that, we'll still have a lot of people not do it.
You know, the biggest thing that Chris and I have talked about for a while, and that he's done a really good job at, is, you know, we've invested in a lot of like education. We do a lot of self-learning, and we love to teach as well, and kind of open up the book on like SEO, like it's kind of black box, and like, here's how you do it. Here's what you need to look for. Here's, you know, full transparency. And we can do it for you. You can go do it. Like, you know, like, people think that the people that are going to go do it on their own are always going to go do it on their own.
Yes,
right. And then the people that are going to need help, always going to need help. But the biggest thing is like the accountability, like having like the accountability of, hey, I'm paying for this thing. Like, just like Orange Theory, right? Like, I'm paying for this thing. I'm going to get billed if I don't go. Like, it's going to be a little bit painful. Let me have an accountability partner to make sure I'm doing the things that I already know that I need to do to keep pushing it forward. Right.
100%.
And that's what it sounds like. You do a really good job offering.
Yeah. And then even too, like, for anyone who's like a course creator on the teaching side out there, where we do get outstanding results is when it is a week by week training from A to Z. So like, hey, we're going to build a table together. And in week one, I'll mail you the parts and explain what everything is. In week two, we're going to put the leg on. Then week three, the other leg. Week four, the other leg. The A to Z from start to finish with the dangling carrot at the end is the best way as a teacher. Hand, like, close to nothing, like, there. Also too, you know, people appreciate it. They just get the most value. So like, honestly, all of our thing is focused on a 16-week certification. And, you know, we rented out the Padre Stadium for our graduates. That's how passionate I am about it. Twice. We're doing it again next year. But that's awesome. The focus, because people have just been getting the most freaking wins and coming through. And then you also see that on the accounts receivable side. In our cert classes, we collect like 97% of that money. And like, people are finishing and having incredible transformations. I'm like, this is it. Screw all the other stuff. And I just delete stuff. Like, every now, when I think about scaling now, I'm just deleting stuff left and right. If it's a pain in the butt, if it's not working, if it's taking too long, if people aren't feeling it, let's just stop doing it. Go do something else and figure out the thing, you know?
And there's one piece to just marketing, right? And then there's another piece to marketing and delivering value, right? So we're helping you, your team, our team, you through training, us through actually kind of executing the SEO services and some paid services. Mm-hmm. And when you positively impact a business owner, like it just the creative part is amazing, right? It's a lot of fun to make a Wolf of Wall Street parody, right? That you had a blast doing that, no doubt about it. But then to turn around and that's bringing customers and you're delivering value to those customers, like we're just so lucky to kind of have put ourselves in the position we're in, to have the marketing skills to kind of go out there and recruit people that we get to help.
And that's the thing too, is we're not afraid to get our hands dirty. For 7 years, I've had a call on Tuesdays where I'm training live, me in person. 7 years of consistency. You know, that's like more of our back end. People don't see that as much because we don't promote it that much. But like, we show up, like we're out there doing the work, screen sharing with people. We probably build more ad campaigns for people. I can't even begin to count. But like, I think it's important, you know, and a lot of people are afraid, like, you know, I think we have this very much like as you start to ascend in the entrepreneurial world, everyone tells you like, you shouldn't do that. Let somebody else do it. And I'm like, yo, how about if I just enjoy doing it? you know, like, what if I enjoy working with my peoples, you know, so.
That is one of the advantages of success, right? Is you can like, okay, I know that may not be high value, but, you know, I'm going to do it. Right. Hobbies are often not high value also, but no one will say you shouldn't have a hobby.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's good. And it builds brand, you know, like the more front facing that I have with people, like it builds true brand and true loyal fans. Cause you know, a lot of people have followers. Few people have a relationship though. You know what I mean? Like where you can actually, a lot of people have followers. Few people have influence, meaning that you can promote something and it actually goes off and sells. You can say, let's do this, go vote, go chant. You know what I mean? Very few people have that.
Well, you know, two of the burning questions that at least, you know, or comments, I don't know, want to get your input on, but, you know, like having the, you can't do something that you don't have like passion about. Like you can't like be upset. Like you got to be obsessed. Like, you know what I mean?
I agree with that. I'm
like addicted to SEO, like honestly, because
you guys should do our SEO.
Yeah. Yes, we should.
We suck. I don't know anything about it. Yeah. Side note, don't cut you out, but yeah.
Well, the thing is I can make a change to a website and then Google re-indexes it and I can see what impact that had and how that formula laid out on that ranking. Right. And so, you know, looking at whatever client it is, using a certain methodology and going, all right, if I make these changes, you know, there's tons of different variables involved, but if I make these changes, let's see how that all stacks up again. And then there's a reshuffling of Google. And then you can see how that had that impact. And then you make another change and you see how that reshuffled and you kind of test things with variables. But it's that kind of like, you know, there's some instant gratification or a little bit delayed gratification, but you keep seeing that work or that success. And then, you know, it even feels it when, you know, your work, like, I guess this plays into my other question. So, I mean, certainly, speak to it, but, it seems like nobody was ever trained on like marketing. Like if you're not a marketing company, so many entrepreneurs are like focused on the product or they're doing this or they're doing that. And like getting customers is how you shape the business. Like the funnel flow of new clients coming in, you can build the operations of the organization to handle that flow. And like, what's the first thing always cut? Like we saw it with COVID hit. Like what was the first thing that most businesses cut? First line item, boom, marketing. Let me get rid of marketing. I was like, no, that's when you need to amp up your marketing. Okay. And take market share, you know? And I don't know. I just think that, sometimes people have, well, and I'm talking about two different things, but some people have a really, different view of marketing than what the value that it creates is. And then other words also, you know, and I understand that people want to run their business, right? And they want somebody else to do marketing, but marketing drives everything. Nothing happens till something gets sold. Like nothing happens till something gets sold. That, you know, you need to have a good product, but then like you got to build that machine, you know? And I know that was kind of two different concepts, but I wanted
I resonated with everything you said. I don't know what the question was, but I do everything you said. I vibe with you and I agree. I agree. 100%.
He did say he was going to speak the truth.
Yeah, I agree. Yes, bro.
No, I just, I wanted to make sure to get those things out there because, you know, sometimes you get get so involved in certain things and you forget what you're going to say and you want to make sure to like get certain messages out there. And I just, I think that, you want to be from the market, if for the marketer standpoint, like people ask, well, what should I do? Right. Like if there are people that we do a little bit of coaching for here and there, and it's like, well, what are you doing with your agency? It's like, do you like Facebook ads? Do you like SEO? Like, what are you most comfortable with? Same thing with business owners. Like, what do you feel most comfortable with? Do you feel most comfortable with in your sales process, kind of enhancing your sales process on the email automation side? Are you in front? Are you comfortable in front of cameras? Would you rather just be SEO? Do you want to be the face of the company? Like, these are all factors that you have to consider when you're doing the marketing.
Yeah, but like, you know, I think too, like to chime in there, is I think some people overthink that question. And I think the question that everybody, especially small businesses, right, that we serve, as a CEO, every day, everybody should wake up and say, how many people am I going to ask to buy today and who is it? And do nothing else but ask those people to buy. Because we can get so caught up, and I've done it, building a website, changing a logo, you know what I mean? Like having internal strategic meetings.
Changing
a button color, and then you realize like you're doing it in WordPress and it doesn't actually have the hex code. And so you're downloading a plugin now and da da da. And somebody walks over and they're like, what's going on? You've been doing this for 90 minutes. I'm trying to change this code. I was like, what the freak? What are you doing? So like, and my thing, you know, even with our team, and I've changed our daily metrics, right? Like when we send them, it's very simple. How much money did you make today? As a result of your actions, how much money came in? Because it's the only thing that actually drives everything that we do. So like if you're a CEO of a company, your time should be made, you know, especially in the beginning phases of just asking people to buy your shit. There is no other job. Now you can do that by calling people. You can do that on knocking doors. But the only thing you cannot do is wait.
Yeah.
You cannot sit on your heels and wait for something to come. Pick up the phone, call. So for me, I try and just do a blitz on any given day. For every employee, I think about, like, even my customer service team. They're going to get X amount of inquiries. Awesome. They can upsell those people under this. They need to be making offers. Our marketing team, we're going to run ads on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. How many people are going to see it? Because that's how many people are going to ask to buy. And I don't run any advertisements heavily that don't ask people to buy my shit. So I'm making offers there. Then I'm going to go speak on stage and I'm going to ask people to buy my stuff. I don't do anything else but ask people to buy. And that's why we grow. Because we are obsessed with that core singular component. And then we're even missing opportunities to do it. For example, we're not asking people to buy via SEO. I have no clue how to do that. I'm missing money right there. So I just LinkedIn. I should be running LinkedIn ads. We did in the past. I haven't done it in a while. I should be asking people there. Every single – and the more – and this is when you look at like a corporate structure, a Fortune 500 company or something. When you look at how many different ways they're doing it, well, it's like, one, they have 20,000 employees. So every single day they have 20,000 people asking people to buy. What does that end up being? Millions and millions of dollars of sales a day. It's the math. It's the math of there. When you look at MLMs, what do they have? They recruit salespeople to ask people to buy every single day. Every growth strategy is surrounded by asking people for money. And the only reason why people don't ask is because they think their trade sucks. Money is nothing more than a trade. People will throw money at you if you have some good shit to trade for it. I got a Lamborghini. If I said, hey, guys, I'm going to give you this Lamborghini for $100, everybody would throw, they'd sprint, come to my office right now, throw money, et cetera, because you know that you're getting the better end of the trade. So as a company, I ask myself, how can I make my students, my clients, my partners feel like they're just taking advantage of me in this trade, and I know I'll have a crazy promotion. And it always works like that. When I put something out where it's like, oh, my God, is he serious? Is he really doing this? That's how the offer has to feel, period. If the offer don't feel like that, I promise you it's not going to blow.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, money is just like stored up energy or buying power or ability to trade, right? Yep. And so like, yeah, I mean, we talk about it a lot. You know, Chris and I talk about a lot of different things, but it's like, are we creating value for people in what we're offering? And are we pricing that appropriately based on the value exchange? Mm-hmm. Right.
And is it being communicated well? Right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they got to be able to see it. Like, I think like even, you know, when, you know, you have left an analogy, Chris, I don't know if you've ever heard this analogy, and Billy, this is the first time I ever heard it. And I think it's a beautiful analogy about golf. Okay. Mm-hmm. About golf and sales. You want to kind of.
I forget. I think it was Mike Maron or something. I don't remember who the hell it was, but I think he was the one that first brought it to my game, but it clicked so much. And they said the relationship between marketing and sales can be dictated like golf. In golf, you drive the ball and you try and get that ball as close to the hole as possible so you can easily tap it in. That's marketing and sales. The drive is marketing. How close can your marketing get? So by the time you actually talk to them, ask them to buy, it's just a little putt in. But if you drive it and it goes into the sand, meaning you have horrible marketing, then you have salespeople who are going to be trying to close people, and it's just going to be hard to do. Every now and then you can make it work, but very rarely is someone going from sand to hole, from water to hole. And so, yeah, it was when I heard that, I was like, that's exactly what it is. And that's why some people say, well, you don't need a sales team if you have great marketing. And I think the challenge is it's almost to a detriment because now people don't want to sell, right? They just depending on marketing, but they're not good at marketing. So like, you can't be good at driving if you don't want to, you know, have a short game. You got to be excellent, the best in the world. So yeah, I think it's
like a parallel to that is I've never met a broke marketing genius. Like
that doesn't actually exist.
And then you're talking about the result of sales. The R in EWR is results, and that is our focus. We kind of very early on realized that. Great, you can talk SEO and you can get people into first position, but then what, right? Like if you don't have the website that's able to convert them, then the client's going to go away. They're going to be unhappy and go away anyway. So then it all gets folded into like we're responsible for all of this stuff. So
yeah, because the client only pays for dollars, right? Like in the marketing world and service, like, and you guys know this, but everyone listening, like, you know, I don't care what rank you give them. I don't care how many clicks they got or how many comments or how viral it went. That all the client sees is how much they paid. And if for anybody who's like, yeah, but we got you ranked and da da da. If it was your business, how would you feel? Because this is the other part people forget. As small business owners, most small business owners have about 2 weeks of runway. Meaning if everything's shut down and you couldn't generate cash anymore, you got about 2 weeks to survive. So you delivering to the client and you're like, you just got to be patient. You can't be patient. Most people can't. And the funny thing is even the richest companies in the world, the Fortune 500, most of them have about 3.5 months of cash to actually float their companies. Just think about that. These are the biggest companies in the world. So people do not have time to wait. They don't have time to celebrate the things that aren't profit. People aren't that excited about branding. People are only excited about making more so that they can afford to do the other things.
That is what we, when we bring people on and we train them, it's like, you're not doing SEO. You're not doing paid ads. What you're doing is you're bringing in customers and you have to think about the business case of when you're doing that. Because honestly, when the client's talking to you, all they're trying to figure out is how much money you made me or how many customers you brought me. Like in any metric you give them, that's literally like what they're trying to figure out in anything that you give them.
And if you struggle with it, right? Like it's okay, but just practice that. That's how you make more money. Like it just be honest with yourself of like, yeah, I don't know if I can do that for a client. Then learn more skills. Learn more skills. Like that's the switch, right? It's like, yeah, you know, that's when you go. And that's how I think a lot of people who just kind of started buying shit is like, you know, first you learn WordPress and then you're like, yeah, how do I get people there? Then you learn a little about SEO and you're like, okay, this is taking a while. How do I do some fast and learn about direct response? You're like, man, a lot of people aren't buying right away. Then you learn about follow-up emails and then you're like, man, well, the emails are good, but nobody's open. So now you're doing follow-up text messages and you're like, man, I wish these people were buying from my website. So now let me try a webinar to get a higher close percent. Well, Jesus, there's still 80% of the people aren't buying for this. So now let me go on stage and close. Well, wow, how do I get more of those consistently and da-da-da and let me get some PR in there. Well, it's just, you know, you keep learning and you keep putting these skills. And this is why when you sit down with the wisdom of someone who's been in business for 50 years, you realize it just feels like they're the smartest people ever because they just experienced the most. And if they're good ones, they've continuously upgraded their skill set. Mm-hmm. And those are the winners.
That is absolutely true. One of the things that you did talk about at Affiliate Southwest in your keynote speech was that a lot of people tend to stay away from sensitive topics like race, religion, politics. And you have more of like a Marine infantryman perspective, which is there's a fire, run to the fire, right? Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that, please.
It's the only thing that pays. like right now, you know, anyone listening, go on your social media and post, you know, something gray. Gray meaning you're not siding on the left, you're not siding on the right. You're just like, hey, I love everybody and everybody's cool and, you know, life is good and just be
people
happy.
People get mad at you about that.
Yeah, how could you be so blind and not see that? Yeah. I mean,
Gene, how dare you be so polarizing right now?
Yeah. You're correct. So, I mean, just the gray does not pay. You know, look, at the end of the day, it's like going back to that equation of how many people can you ask to buy? Well, you know, if I post, if I spend $100 on a Facebook post and, you know, 1,000 people see it, well, I only get 1,000 people to buy. If I can spend $100 and 100,000 people see it, well, I'm going to have more chances to buy. What dictates that reach? How entertaining your content is, period. Entertaining in the sense of the algorithm is very simply put, likes, comments, shares, and watch time. Likes, comments, shares, watch time. If you have that, it will reach more people. So it's cost effective to have timely, uncomfortable conversations, right? So for example, most people are like, you know, I don't want to talk about the election, in my business, because I don't want to take a stand and it's just too hot right now. That's fine. You're just going to be ignored. You don't have to talk about them, but no one's going to talk about you at all. You're not going to be in the conversation, right? But you got to figure out how to insert yourself into the conversation because the reach is just so much more.
Well, Joe Rogan does that, and I know you do that. It's just follow
Joe Rogan. He's got the biggest podcast in the world, mind you.
Yeah. He just follows the trends, right? Like whatever everybody's talking about, he jumps on that attention, finds somebody interesting in that space and brings them in because people want to know about that, right? And he's like, here's a bunch of content on it.
You know? So, I mean, like right now, for example, it's every single day, just go to Google Trends and just see what people are talking about and then just make content on that. I mean, honestly, even if you're not polarizing, if you just have an opinion on the hot thing, you will reach probably real number, like 20 to 50 times more people. Real number, you know? And so when I look at that for the sake of money, I just don't want to waste time talking about stuff that people don't care about.
You've given some good examples, or at least at the talk gave some good examples about how you expressed an ability to address the sensitive topic, but not necessarily make a stand on it. And then can you come up with any examples? Do you happen to remember? Because I don't think I remember what you came up with.
Yeah. The idea of, I'll just pull something out of my ass, right? Like, take Biden and Trump right now. And a big topic is, you know, jobs, right? Or let's take mask. Mask is very common right now. I'm in California, San Diego, LA. I just went there. Mask mandate, right? Yeah. And it's still people are posting about it every day. I'm sorry.
We're in Texas. There's like no mask.
Yeah, exactly. In Texas. Right, correct. Right. So that would be the point though, is like running an ad in Southern California, you know, and like I help entrepreneurs, right? And so I'm saying, like, can you guys believe all this nonsense that here we are again with a mask mandate when 49 other states don't have it? And the crazy thing is, if you believe in mask or if you don't believe in mask, you still have to pay your bills in 2 weeks. You still got to do it. So I'm bringing this up to say, what are you doing to actually grow your business right now? Because whether you're wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, gas and electric is still due. Whether you're wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, you still got to pay your employees. Do you guys get the point? The only mask is over your eyes because you're focused on the wrong things. Your family needs you to show up. So come to this webinar and let me show you how to grow your business so you can stop masking what's really going on with all this mask talk. Right. So that's a perfect way of inserting my conversation without making an actual stand on, you know, mask. That's usually where I sit. Like people will say I'm polarizing. I don't really ever have an opinion on anything. But if I do, I will talk shit on all sides. I will make sure everyone's equally offended. It's kind of how I go, you know, like everyone.
That's perfect. So what I would love to make sure that we cover, because I know our audience, you know, what is working today, right? Like, what are you seeing in the analytics? Like, you know, how has things maybe shifted? Like, one of the things that I've found is when we're running ads, typically stuff that worked great in the US maybe 6 months ago works phenomenal in South America, right? Right now, it's like you can almost predict the future, you know, to a certain degree based on the different kind of ads that you run. But things are constantly changing. People's opinion of, say, stock art, for one, right? You know, or, you know, there's just constantly shifts. Certainly even this year on the SEO side of things, there's a ton of Google updates. They mixed it up on everybody, for sure. And, you know, people constantly kind of evolve as they get more comfortable with the internet and have different opinions. So I'm curious kind of, you know, what are the things that you're seeing? Certainly like when the shift to text messages that we started going to SMS, where it's 98%, 99% open rates versus emails. Like, man, that was like game changer.
Yeah.
It brought us back to the two cent, you know, Google AdWords, right? Like,
yeah. You know, I would say, like, for me, is I try not to fall in love with any tool. Right? Your screwdriver, your hammer, your wrecking ball. I mean, they're all great depending on what the job is, right? So that's kind of how I figure with your Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, et cetera. Like, what's my job? Are you telling me that I need to go, you know, sell something to teenagers? Well, guess what? TikTok's going to be the best tool for the job. But the one thing that they all share is messaging. Like, for any of them to work, any of the tools, you have to have a message that people care about. So to be honest with you, I spend personally like 99% of my time on that. You know, what am I going to say that's going to, because for example, at the end of the day, like I sell like marketing and helping businesses grow, like in any economy you need it, et cetera, but it's just easy to ignore at times. And so for example, when the pandemic first started happening, the big hook, the marketing message was, if I had 30 days and I lost it all and I needed to figure out a way to get back and all I had was my cell phone and a laptop, here's exactly what I would do to make $10,000. That was my big pivot. Everything else I did before that sucked to give numbers. So, you know, before that, we were in the middle of promoting this thing about scaling your business and hiring more people. When the pandemic hit, nobody was talking about that. So, you know, we sent an email to like a million people. Like three people are like, I'm interested, you know, probably selling masks or whatever. And then we switched the message to the 30 days, 10 grand, who's down to try it type of deal. And then it's like, $500,000 in sales right away, like literally zero to $500,000. Take recently, you know, our message was, it was the e-com. I did the e-com challenge. Like, damn, you know, and again, the message is never like learn. It's like, do it with me. Watch or do it with me. That is what sells in regards to coaching space, et cetera. It's do it with me. So mine was, hey, I'm going to do an e-com challenge. Give me 90 days. I'm going to start some e-com stores from scratch and fucking, I'm going to try to make $1 million. Who wants to watch? $250,000, $3, 3 days. Boom. Just like that. Like, but it's the hook. Now I share that because here's the part that people don't see. It was the 7 different hooks before that, that I sent an email out to the same list that brought in $200 in sales. Imagine having massive brand email list, et cetera. And you send something that goes $200 and we're not dumb. We took shots that we thought could be good, right? Like, but clearly we were dumb. You know what I mean? Like it didn't work. So when we switched that hook to, oh, let's put the e-com spin on it. We found a hot button people were crazy about. The pandemic switch, we found a hot button. That message is universal. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, it don't matter. All the tools use the same thing. To give perspective, like my most recent ad, that's, by the way, giving me my lowest cost per lead in 12 years, you know, and it's basically just me in a conference room and I have a bunch of flashcards and I bought a money counter thing that, you know, counts bills or whatever, $300 at Office Depot. And I put the money in the beginning. $3,200 is how much 76% of Americans live on. Watch how fast I can spend it. And I had flashcards, rent, money, car, gas. And I'm just spending all the money right there. And then I just say, clearly you need to make more money. If you need to learn how to, you know, some strategies on social media, click the button and let me show you. That ad blows up. And it gets us like, in some cases, like 12 cent leads. I'm like, this is insane. It goes nuts. So then I get a message on Instagram from this dude I went to high school with. He's like, yo, somebody stole your video on TikTok. To be honest, I didn't even look for like 3 days because I don't care. Because I'm like, whatever, that happens all the time. Who cares? But then I click the link randomly. I don't even know why. And I go to it. And that video that someone's, that ad I'm telling you about, they screen captured it, posted it on TikTok and put a bunch of hashtags. It got 3 million views in 3 days organically.
Wow.
Now, here's the crazy thing. I don't have TikTok. I don't have TikTok. Someone have it. So, you know, now what did I do? I freaking call up the homies, the connection, like, get me on TikTok. I mean, how am I going to ignore it? I went viral on TikTok. I never used it before. I don't even know how to use the damn thing, you know? So, but again, going with the tools, like, I'm mad at myself for obviously being so exposed to TikTok and not testing it sooner. How stupid, how ignorant. It took somebody else testing my shit for me without permission for me to take it seriously. But man, who would have known that that message would have worked so good with that tool? You know, and here I am thinking it's just a bunch of little kids. Like, who would care? But apparently, 3 million of them. You know what I mean?
And there's some underlying themes here that I think are really important, because we as marketers, it's our job to ideation is a job, right? That's a big piece of the job. And you talked about, you walked in and your team was like, the Wolf of Wall Street video, nah, they weren't feeling it. And you just had a passion, you pushed through it, right? And you were right. And then you just talked about running, you know, X ads to your audience after they've experienced the brand, and you generated $200 of sales, and then you turn around and six figures plus, I don't remember the number. There's something interesting about marketing, and maybe in comment about this, which is you've got this passion for an idea and knowing when to let, like, we talk often at our offices, like, hey, have a passion for your idea, defend it like it's your baby. And then as soon as the data says anything else, we're like, that apparently it wasn't a baby. Like, talk, it's not my baby anymore.
The data is the
baby. Talk about that and how that kind of works with you.
It's the only judge is the data. Like, I mean, I really am a believer in, like, in life, just like, no one's opinions matter. Like, there only is and there is not. You know what I mean? Like you said, it is like, how good at marketing is the broke marketer? How good, like, and you just see, it's just so magical, because even looking at how bad of a dilemma this is of people not paying attention to the numbers, it's all the people right now who are Bitcoin experts but are broke. Mm. All the people who are stock market experts but are broke. To me, that is like the most offensive thing ever, because it's like, what do you mean? Why didn't you just make – you're telling me what to do with my money. Why aren't you rich? They're like, I'm certain this is going to work. I'm certain this is the coin. Why don't you have a gazillion dollars then? Because you literally just need to put your money there and do what you say, and it will print out like right there, right? So to me, even when I'm looking for help or a consultant, I want someone who has been there multiple times. And I think this is big for hiring internally. You know, you can interview with people and you're like, you know, have you ever helped a company go to 100 million before? You know, and somebody say yes, or 10 million or 10,000 or whatever. Have you ever closed somebody high ticket before? Yeah, I've done that before. And then there's the people who have done it 100 times. You need to hire the been there a gazillion times. That is the most important aspect. So even with, you know, ads or campaigns, I want something that's worked a gazillion times for people. I want results that have been tested and battle proven. I want consultants who have been there, done that so many times, and that's who I hire. So, Chris, to answer your question in a very long-winded way of saying, if there ain't data behind it, I do not care. I couldn't care less.
Yeah, no, I lit in the car on the way to drop my kids off to school this morning. I was having a conversation about data. We're listening to a podcast about happiness, and my son chimed in with his opinion. And I'm like, no offense, but they just told you the research data. They didn't say, hey, we asked a bunch of people what makes them happy, and they said this. They actually did the research and they gave you the results. So I have, again, passionate ideas about things.
Yes.
And then the data comes. I'm like, oh,
here's the other side of that though, right? Is a lack of data should also tell you that something is possible. So, you know what I mean? So for example, if you've never tried something before, then do not adamantly say that something won't work. And this is big with creatives, right? It's like, oh, you know, I don't know if that would ever work. Like, we've never done that before. Like, I had a sales guy one time tell me, I said, what's your sales goal? What the fuck was the conversation? Sorry, I cussed. I asked him, I said, what's your, you know, or I set a sales goal for him. I said, your sales goal this month is $150,000 for you personally. And he said, why? And I said, you know, because that's the goal and you can do it. And based on lead flow, like it's $150,000. And he said, yeah, but like, is that really fair? And I'm like, fair. First of all, that word, what does that mean? Fair. Anyways, I just continue there. And he goes, yeah, I just think it's like, why would you have that goal? We've never done it before. And he was so passionate about that. Like, you don't just make, like, you haven't done it before. Why would you set that goal? And I said, you know, well, dude, like, this entire company was created from a series of never done it befores. I've never made $100. I've never made $1,000. I've never made $5,000. Never made $5,000 in a day. Never made $10,000. Never made $100,000. Never made $1,000,000. Never made $50,000,000. Like, I've never done any of this shit before, bro. That's the point. I've never done it. And I was like, your challenges right now is you think you can only do things that have been done. And that's why you're stuck. And that's why I tell them, that's why your performance is average. Because you're having an average-ass thought right now. So I said, your goal is 150 and you're going to beat it. And you need to believe that and fucking get it done. So we did $169,000 the next month.
That's a great lesson.
And I told him, hey, remember that forever. I said, I don't even care if you work here or not. I want you to remember that forever.
Yeah. Because
if you can get what just happened in that moment, you can do anything you want in life.
But what a great mentor. You know, what a great mentor, man.
I got on his ass a little bit. I don't know if he's happy. But when he made the 169 grand and had a big check, he was happy then.
you know, Chris, you speak about this stuff a lot, like the law of deservedness. So basically, Billy just shared kind of the law of deservedness. You want to kind of – I know people like want just actionable steps on this. But
we'll get to it. I've got some questions. Yeah.
Like, I mean, a lot of marketing is mindset. I can do this. Or I'm going to try it, or I'm going to be bold enough, or, you know, I'm going to put in the work, like have the work ethic to do it. Right. But Chris, you talk about law of deservedness. That was probably one of the, when we linked up, that was probably one of the first things that you talked about. And I think Billy kind of set it in a different light or gave an example. Maybe you can share that.
Yeah. I think, and there'll be a good, this will have a good question for you, Billy. So the law of a friend of mine coined the phrase, the law of deservedness, and it says that you have today everything that you truly believe you deserve, or you don't have today everything you truly believe you don't deserve. If you get more than you truly, and we're not talking like, do I deserve the Lamborghini? We're talking about, do I really deserve the Lamborghini?
Yeah.
And if you get more than you truly deserve, you'll at a minimum not enjoy it, or most likely sabotage it. So your business model in the coaching framework, and I've had conversations with other just kind of not marketing coaches, but business coaches, is very unique because these people are already pushing their limit, right? Like they're doing the best they can when they come to you. And so I've got to imagine that you see regularly, especially on these weekly coaches where you're like, hey, just go spend 20 minutes and make a Facebook ad and here's the text or what, like you guys pretty specific about it. 100%. And then 7 days later, they come back and it's not done. And there's gotta be part of your team's like, what do we do about that? And I do believe what's happened is they've got this law of deservedness, this Darren Hardy calls it a set point. They're already at their set point and they come to you, right? They're already the kind of person who's trying to push their set point. And then the first thing you do is make a good ad and push them beyond their set point, which is amazing. Have you thought about like how much mindset work you do with customers? Yeah, is that, and have you seen that artifact with your customers?
Yeah. Every single call I have, we start with the core values of a genius. Number zero is everything is my fault. You know, we don't make excuses. We make it happen, right? Learn something new every day and apply it. We are here to serve selflessly with integrity. It's, you know, I got 14 of these things that we say every single time because it's the whole thing. Like it's the, I mean, no, actually I'm going to take that back. I'm going to correct myself. It's 50% of the thing, you know, and a lot of people with some dope mindsets that ain't doing shit. They need to get it together. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's 50-50, you know, you got to have both. But I will tell you, I've seen, very rarely, I don't know if I could, matter of fact, actually, I'll sit here and say this. And I'm sure you guys have, you know, met a gazillion, you guys are successful. You met a gazillion successful people. And so have I. I have never met a very successful person who doesn't work on their mindset or credit it to that or mentor or coach ever in my entire existence. Ooh, that's good. I'm going to use that for now. Can you note that, Paul? Like really not a single one, Mm-mm. not one. Can you guys real talk? Like anyone?
I think, you know, I always say this is that I've met people less like in my humble or not so humble opinion in this case, less intelligent than me that are more financially successful. And that was the measure that I was using. And then I've met people significantly more intelligent than me and less financially successful. And so that really, again, boils down to the set point. Like, you don't have to be the sharpest, you know, tack in the box to be really successful. You've just got to do the, and frankly, I often say like success is born out of really boring, boring stuff. Now, when we're in marketing, and so like we get the really fun part of it, but it is coming up when, like you're saying, 80+% of your time is thinking about the next campaign. That means you're doing the same thing all the time. But it's the thing that's worked to get you here and is the thing that is working to get you there. It's the same damn thing. Like, find the thing that's working and keep doing the same damn thing over and over again. So
yeah, you know, I got to remind myself even times because, you know, in this position I'm particularly in right now, I get so many investment opportunities, et cetera. And some of them I dive into. And then, you know, I have many conversations with myself of like, Billy, if you just make a new video ad in a new VSL, like,
yeah.
Like, what, just make a new, what are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? So I think that lack of, every single time I've stuck with the fundamentals, but then gotten better at the fundamentals, we grow as a company.
Yep.
You know, so you're spot on.
So Billy, I'm going to switch gears a little bit on us here. So are you going to be the next marketer to jump into the crypto bandwagon and start? I've seen just so many marketers.
No, I I've only taught one thing for 12 years. Customer acquisition. I've never stopped I've beat on that drum till the end. And, you know, sometimes the tools to get that done changes and I'll be an advocate for those things and I'll learn new things. And obviously that the process, I've learned how to build an organization and dope things, but no, I don't know anything about crypto. So I would never teach anything I don't know about. I'm the first guy to say, I don't know. People ask me questions on calls all the time. So Billy, what do you think about, like, people ask me SEO questions. So Billy, what do you think? I said, no fucking clue. I don't know. I couldn't even begin to tell you, you know? So, with crypto, no, I wouldn't, you know, 100%. But would I find, like, so for example, I'm big on trust. Like, I don't trust anybody. Like, I don't rock with anybody. I'm just like, I don't trust anybody because a lot of people lie and they're full of it, but whatever. I digress. However, I do know some wildly successful people in crypto and I've firsthand gotten to see them do it. I've seen them stay true for the last 6 years in consistency. Would I be open to introducing my audience to a joint thing where I say, but my message would be this. Hey guys, I know nothing about crypto. I wish I knew more. I don't want to be the idiot sitting on the sidelines or the arrogant fool not paying attention. So I have a buddy coming to talk to me about it. If you want to come with me, we can learn this together. That is a finesse that I would work with. And then I get to learn. And then if my people want to rock with me too, they can. But my vetting process is crazy. Like, I don't, they'd be legit as it comes, you know.
And I was certainly saying that a little bit tongue in cheek because I've just started to see a lot of marketers, like the videos, right, have just started to kind of grab.
But Matt, that's the example that Chris gave earlier. Like, okay, if you're that nice in crypto, show me the receipts. Like, show the receipts. And then also show me the history. I want to see your track record. Print it out. Like, there's no, so, you know, people always say, how do you know if someone's telling the truth or not? Check the receipts.
Yeah.
Check the receipts and then ask other people what they think about them.
And I just love that blockchain is a distributed ledger and it's immutable and you can actually see them.
Yeah, like it's like what?
So
like, and also too, people are like, you know, this is what people don't realize about crypto is I stay objective to realize that crypto could continue to blossom and be the biggest thing, but I'm also aware enough. Like, you'll see some people who are like, it's the future and you're an idiot if you don't understand. I'm also aware that the biggest threat to crypto that everybody's sleeping on right now, in my humble opinion, is the metaverse. Because if people do get into the metaverse and as many users, the 3 billion that are on Facebook, if they all go into the metaverse and then the metaverse says this is the formal currency to buy things in virtual reality, which is the metaverse, but Facebook owns the people, it will be a threat to crypto immediately, because people would be buying in-game things. Just a different thought, right? Like, or as you can see with government regulation, someone gets in there and one thing goes there. And here's the biggest one. This is my favorite one, is people go, you can't hack crypto. It can never be wrong. And I can't wait. I can't. Oh, I should take this back because I don't wish ill on anybody. But we'll have the conversation where it's like, oh, is crypto even safe anymore? And then it's going to be the conversation of like, well, you have to be smart with it because it needs to be in this type of wallet and this. And then the conversation will keep going. Like, it's just my point is like, have the humility. As I challenge everyone, because I was really bad at it in the beginning of my career. Have the humility to realize that none of us know what's going to be, but have the skills to be equipped so when it does happen, we can jump right on it and something's here consistently. No.
So in one of the interviews that I looked up, you were called a marketing genius. And maybe that happens all the time. If you're writing the scripts, it should happen more often, right?
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, I put it all over our branding, so yeah, it should be said.
So it was Damon John when you interviewed with him, and he showed a book, and I have to, there was no discussion of the story behind it. And I'm assuming there is related to the book, like you sent him a book and, can you talk about, is there a story behind that first off? And then
which part? I'm in one of his books. He wrote about me in one of his books.
Okay.
Yeah. So that could be it.
So like it would be aspirational to be on to get interviewed by Damon John. I've seen him talk, obviously watched Shark Tank. Was there a process for that relationship or?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Big process. I'll tell you about that. One thing I want to acknowledge, like for example, my branding is marketing genius. Like, I don't think I'm a genius at all. I think I have so much to learn. I think the version of me today is laughable relative to who I'm creating by putting in the work, still studying, et cetera. So like, I think I'm like this amount of smart in marketing relative to where I know, like, you know what I mean? The weaknesses. So that's more of a branding play, right? My name is Billy Jean. So it's easy to genius. But right. When I use the word genius, I'm actually calling it to my community. Talk about mindsets to give them confidence. Right. Because if somebody calls you a genius, you'd be flattered and you believe that you could do things that you maybe couldn't do. So if I can call all my community geniuses, you're a genius, you're a genius, you're a genius, when maybe everybody else is calling them dumb, ignorant, stupid, blah, 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 it can give them a little hype. So that's where the genius thing comes from. But going with the Damon thing, you know, and just meeting people, right? Advertising is I think it's just like the secret weapon that everybody sleeps on. And here's what I mean. Advertising is amazing because if it doesn't work, you can stop it immediately and change it the next day. Just imagine sitting at like a blackjack table where you have infinity money that you can make. But if you're about to lose a big hand, you can go, oh, hold up, man. Let me take these chips back and not bet. That's how I think advertising is. So when I think of it like that, I'm like, this is crazy that people aren't doing it. But also every single time that you're advertising, and in my case, when I'm advertising, if it doesn't work, I don't do it. But if it does work, it means I'm making a profit, which means I'm getting paid to be seen. I'm getting paid to build a freaking brand. So with that, wait, shit, go back to your question. Hold on. You said something.
Yeah, Damon.
So advertising, right. Yeah. So through becoming known, et cetera, and then also building distribution, creating a massive email list, I have a trade that is worth it to an influencer, which is I can push their products or services, right? Because of the relationship built through advertising and the distribution collected through advertising. So Damon had a book coming out. I think it was his first, like the Power Book, like years back. And I saw that. And I always been watching him on Shark Tank. And at this point, I was doing speaking already and things of that nature. And we had mutual friends. So I was like a degree away from him, but we never really connected. So I was sick of like missing the opportunity to like meet him through people and shit. And I hate depending on people for anything because I have trust issues, like I said. So what I did is
that'll be one of the takeaways.
Yeah, for real. I went to his website and I just put in a message. I just said, hey, my name is Billy. You know, my ads have been seen this time. I'm an entrepreneur. I have this big of an email list. I saw that Damon's has a book coming out. I would love to promote it. Simple, right?
Yeah.
And I knew that message was going to go to his team. And what I try to think of myself is like, whoever gets this message, how can I make them look good? And they're going to look good if they're pushing his book and coming with a new revenue. Like, that's cool. So I put it in there. I was like, I'll probably never hear anything back. But I was like, I can't sleep at night. I might as well send it. I got a reply that was like, hey, Damon's actually interested. And then he did a vet and was able to verify me through some other mediums, et cetera. And so his guy, Ted, shout out to Ted, hits me and is like, hey, we're going to be in town for this event. I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was TNC or something. And my office is down the street. from all that. And so I said, cool, I'll send him a limo. I sent him a limo to come to the office. And so long story short, he agrees. And I'm like, oh shit, it's going to be crazy. But I also had to promise that I was going to like deliver in sales. Like my audience will buy a book. Dah, dah. So I'm like, oh shit, I hope this works. Right. So anyways, actually I'll tell a funny story about Damon. First time Damon came into the office. So my team is like young, we're upbeat. And when people come to the office, we have their picture up. We like celebrate. It's like a big deal. Right. So he comes in and he opens the door and he sees the whole team. And they're like, hey, and he shuts it like a step back. Like if you're about to walk into somewhere. And then his guy Chauncey helps him with marketing, but looks like a security guard. He's massive. Opens the door again and they come through and we welcome. And now it's kind of awkward and shit. Cause like, and he's just like, and he's like, sorry, man. Like I just, you know, we don't know each other yet, right? Like who knows what's going to happen in that room? Like he could be walking into whatever the fuck, right? So he steps back. So anyways, me and him go upstairs and we're about to freaking do this like interview content creation thing. And I was like, here, man, we got you this. And on his Instagram, he always gives out dad. He's always telling stupid dad jokes. Motherfucker. He's always telling dad jokes. And so we got him a dad joke book and we highlighted all the funniest ones. And he starts dying laughing. He's like, yo, this is a great gift. And then this is a funny story. It's my, you know, my ex-girl was there at the time. And she upstairs. He's like, oh, this your girl? Hey, nice to meet you. Hey, nice to meet you too. He's like, wow, we both like dad jokes and we're both dating white girls. Nice to meet you. we just laughed and it just kind of like broke the awkwardness. And then we did content together. And we did like a joint, like little 30-minute presentation that we ended up doing as a webinar. And obviously I brought my A game. I got to demonstrate to him my skill set during that. And like we vibed. But anyways, we also ended up doing like $50,000, like 30, 40, 50, something like that, like right away. And, you know, think about it. It's like someone like him's getting pitched all the time. Everyone talks about what they can do. I'm like, nah, come here. I'll make it happen. Done. And it was down the street, 30 minutes of his time. I showed him a high ROI.
Yeah.
And then this was, mind you, this is years ago now. So years later, now we just became friends. Like, especially Clubhouse, you know, Clubhouse, we really got to link up, you know, like just talking shop and then, you know, out in New York. Matter of fact, I just actually did the, he did like an internal team meeting for his Shark group. And I got to go on there as a guest too, last month. But anyways, full circle. So that was a very long story. Sorry.
No,
I just think it's interesting how all that shit actually comes into play. And then it's the domino effect, right? Like once you know people and then it's just, you know, so that was that.
Yeah, no, I figured there was some kind of longer story behind it. And then the dad joke in that interview, you said that you were going to grab one dad. I don't know if you had a particular dad joke that you pulled up. Did you ever pull one up? I think at least the piece I saw ended before you got to share your dad joke.
I don't remember what it was. No. Like Damon's better at dad jokes. I'm more better at inappropriate jokes that we can't tell on podcast.
So one of the things that I want to share, like we talked about kind of heavy hitting stuff, like being able to deliver some value and we haven't actually gotten that technical, but I think this has been really, and I think this has been really valuable.
Hold on one sec, guys.
Yeah. Is that Damon?
Sorry, guys.
Is that Damon? No, yeah. You talked about this at ASW. There were some very specific kind of Facebook type campaigns, and maybe you want to share something different, but I just wanted to kind of lead you, not just throw you into the fire like I did earlier.
I like fire.
run us through some ideas that you have for Facebook campaigns that are like different.
Cheap and easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, especially like these are good ones to couple with like SEO, right? This is an SEO podcast. Like, you know, one of the challenges with SEO, is just that it takes time, right? So educating, I'm preaching to the choir here. So there's that. But one way to earn business with an easy win without getting hardcore into the direct response advertising world, you know, is just running simple birthday ads on campaigns on Facebook. Advertising to people with an upcoming birthday, it's literally a click of a button. You can spend $5-$10 a day. But if you're doing SEO for like, you know, a restaurant or something like that, it's a very simple of, hey, let me buy your beer. We see your birthday's coming up. Come on in. And it's just something where the client can go, wow, as a result of hiring you, I am seeing traction. And the message that you hear a lot of the time is, I hired a marketing guy and I didn't see a single lead. And now you're like, wow, a couple days of working with you, same day of working with you, I'm getting it. That's how I got in all the Orange Theory Fitnesses, is speed, you know, because a lot of them were doing SEO. And I was like, I know this Facebook thing. And you know, in 6 hours, I would bring them 20 leads. And it's like, Ty went viral within their franchise and ended up working with 300 of their locations.
I like that. Let's start wrapping up, Chris. And like, okay. You know, maybe one last thing.
You mentioned Orange Theory. My friend Patrick, who coined the phrase law of deservedness, has done training with them kind of at the corporate level.
Oh, very cool.
It was right before pandemic. So that's kind of fallen off and he'll probably be picking up, but it's kind of cool. Cool.
Yeah. World. That was like when I was really popping with them, it was probably like 2015, 16, maybe 17. Yeah.
Matt, do you have a kind of wrap up questions? I've kind of got one last one.
I just, you know, I love just, you know, hitting with some tactics, right? Like just ending with just some different tactics.
So that would be like one thing. Boom. Fire to it. Yes. The Facebook ad, 100%. Like try that. Do it. Anniversaries. The birthday, one thing. Anniversaries, upcoming anniversaries, everyone should be taking advantage of that, because that's when men are willing to spend, and so are women, to have the perfect date night. So be creative thinking about it. Also, too, with the birthday ones, even with like insurance companies, it's a good way to get insurance leads. Hey, you just turned 40. You got to start thinking about other things now, retirement, financial planning, et cetera. There's just a big opening for simple direct response ads that work because of someone's birthday and they're paying attention if someone says happy birthday. Like they feel that, right? That people like to be cared about. Other things too is while they're traveling, simple ones, right? You know, on Facebook, you can click a button and advertise to people based on if they are traveling in a location. That's a great way to get tourist money, et cetera. If you're dealing with any service-based businesses, hey, while you're in San Diego, come here and stop by. While you're in Texas, come here and da-da-da-da-da. So just, and these are all things that you just go on the back end of Facebook, click a button, can spend $5 to $10, write a basic-ass message like I'm freestyling right here, and get results. And this is how the client sees his results to bring sales in. Other things than that, with webinars, if anybody's selling via webinars, I will tell you, we are seeing a lot of success with Zoom in particular. I've done all the softwares that automate your webinars. I can't stand them all. They always break. I don't know what's going on. Our show rate sucks. The conversions are low. So what we found a lot of success in is running encore presentations of a Zoom and then just playing the video through Zoom in particular. I love Zoom, et cetera. Another random tip, Zoom phone. If everyone's not using it for their internal team, people with bigger teams here, it's amazing. Like right now, if I pick up my cell phone, I can go to Zoom phone. And it is different. It is not the same as your regular Zoom account, but I can click Zoom. I can go phone. I can see right now a list of every single person in my company. And there's a little ear logo that shows up and I can press a button. I can listen to all their conversations in one click.
Oh, cool.
I can barge in. I can take over the call. I can see how many minutes. And it's a crazy simple user face. You literally hit Zoom, press phone, and you can see all that instant access. This is great if you're training a sales team, if you want to see what they're saying. And the favorite side of it is it's really cheap, but they also have whisper mode in there. So if somebody's on the phone with a sales client, you can hit whisper and they can hear me, but the client cannot. So you can do real-time coaching.
Wow.
And it's the best phone service that's actually not delayed. Sometimes when you do like other services like this, like Vonage for Business, there's a very big delay. Zoom, no delay. I cannot say enough good things about the Zoom phone in particular, and everyone should look into it and use it. That's not an affiliate deal. Just genuinely thrilled as a customer. Wish I found it sooner. Even works great for student, you know, customer service. Other things that are working. I'm just always a proponent of thinking of physical shit that you can give with the sale. I talked about the USBs, but if you have courses or something, like definitely make sure you have a guide. Right. Give away the course for free, but you can actually sell the guide, like the printoutable is absolutely massive. We've been going hard on the certification. Just the positioning of the certification is amazing. And renting out a stadium for the graduates, that has been massive. One, because it shows how much you give a damn about your people. But the other thing, too, is they're only $175,000. Now, remember, this is a kid whose parents both grew up on welfare. I know $175,000 is not a little money. But relative to an event, to give you guys perspective, like when you put on 500 people at an event in a hotel, that bill is probably going to cost you $250 to $300, you know, with AV and all this stuff. It's ridiculous. So anybody who's in that event space, really check out stadiums for a graduation. It was way cheaper. They had fireworks included, et cetera. And the content from leveraging and renting out that space is amazing. It's like, look what we do for, it was just crazy enough. So that was actually a surprising cost. How is the stadium cheaper than damn hotels with shit? You know what I mean? It didn't make any sense to me. So that's another big thing. Damn, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's get one last question and then you can tell everybody how to make contact with you. You probably have some free giveaway in your back pocket somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
What are your marketing pet peeves?
My biggest one is just boring. It's because it's so expensive and it doesn't work. I really believe it's a requirement to be entertaining and to get somebody to do anything profitably in the world of online advertising or this online world. So my biggest pet peeve is when I see something and it's just like, dude, you don't even talk like this. It's like, I know you, you don't. It's the persona that, and I don't want to call it a pet peeve because I get it and I understand how people come to it, but it's like, you know, people create a persona of who they think people want them to be when they come online, especially when they start doing video. And it's because we were trained that way, because in the beginning you always saw people in suits talking like this and perfect pose, and it's just nonsense these days. So that's one thing that I think people could.
Very cool. All right. How can our audience connect with you and get something free? I'm throwing that out there. If there's nothing free, I apologize.
Yes.
$49.
I believe we have getallmycourses.com. I'll make sure after this. Hey, somebody out there, anybody? I don't know if anyone's going to hear me.
Get all my courses?
Is get all my courses? Can you ask marketing? Is get all my courses active for all of our, where does someone go to get all our shit for free? What?
Give me a domain. It's up.
Is it? It may not be for free on there right now.
Yeah, it may not be for free. It feels like free given the value.
it is.
There we go.
But I'll do something for your group where, I can update you guys and give you a domain where they can get all our shit for free.
Just send them there. Get all my courses. Oh, I'm the one who set you up. That's not fair.
All right, guys, get all my courses.com. If it's not free, it's basically for free. And that's for real a decade worth of content. We're good. Yeah. It's for real a decade worth of content. High ticket stuff, private interviews. It's it is the best deal on the internet. I'm not even playing. Just go get it.
It's $97. That, or at least that's what's at the top. Who knows if there's
totally but worth it. One client.
Yeah.
One client, right?
100%
ROI, positive ROI.
So. You have to not get a stupid ROI on that. You have to you have to burn it. You have to get it and then burn it digitally. You have to burn it on the top. it's great.
And then buy it 3 more times.
exactly.
Well, Billy Jean, man, this has been absolutely amazing. I'm glad that really it was Matt and the team kind of got on the bandwagon, kind of understood who you were, shared it with me. We bumped into each other at Affiliate Southwest. It's been such an honor to have you on the podcast. We really appreciate it. Again, for all those who are listening, getallmycourses.com. You can go get Billy Jean's stuff. It's only $97. Invest in yourself. I think that's one of the takeaways from this podcast. Invest in yourself. The people who are investing in themselves are more successful. And I think we can say that what we said earlier is the opposite. Those who are successful are always investing themselves.
100%.
So thanks for tuning in. Until the next podcast, my name's Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
And that is
Billy Jean is Marketing.
Billy Jean is Marketing.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks a lot.